Have you, well, maybe you're not like me, but I'll ask anyway. Have you ever watched a game show and thought to yourself, what would I do if I won $35,000 by getting the bonus puzzle on Wheel of Fortune? What would I do with $127,000 if I was a three-day champion on Jeopardy? What would I do if I could answer all 14 questions correctly on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and I had a million-dollar check? What would you do? After the bills were paid and the future was secure, what would you do? Would you travel? Would you give to charity? Would you buy a luxury item? Car, boat, jet ski, 65-inch TV. I have to tell you, I was at, where was I, Target the other day? Just staring at those humongous TVs, thinking, $1,000 for a TV seems excessive. But if I had a million, it might not be all that crazy. I'm not sure. According to Matthew, during the week leading up to the crucifixion, Jesus shares parables about the kingdom of God, the realm of God's sovereignty. This kingdom is what the church aspires to become. Even as we pray in the manner that Jesus taught us, your kingdom come. The parable that I just read for you provides us with another healthy habit for the church. We are called to manage our lives well. And as we look at this passage in its entirety, verses 14 to 30, Jesus gives us a picture of the kingdom of God. Jesus gives us a picture of the kingdom of God. It's a simple parable. For those of you that are unfamiliar with that term, parable, para in Greek means alongside. You get parallel lines. Para. Balo means to throw. Parabolo means something thrown alongside. This is a story that some might say is an allegory, where everything has a deeper meaning, but it's a story that Jesus throws alongside to try and teach. We do it all the time. We tell stories and try to get people to understand whatever we're saying in whatever context we're saying. And this is a parable. It's the picture of what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like a man going on a journey. This man's going on a journey and he entrusts his servants with his provision. We don't know how much this man had, but what we do know is that he gives a portion of his wealth to three of his servants. He may have had more servants. This is just a parable, a story about these three. They're all given a specific amount of what the scriptures say later on is silver. They're given a talent. If you have the new NIV, the NIV that was translated in 2011, it doesn't say talents, it has right here in verse 15. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. Actually, it's not 5 bags of gold. 5 bags of money. 5 things of money. A talent back in the Old Testament was about 75 pounds. 75 pounds of gold. 75 pounds of silver. And one of them gets 5. I can't do the math right now because I didn't. But I don't know what 5 times 75 is. 375. I can do the math. 375 pounds of gold. I'm going to be generous to myself and say, two of me. Sort of. A little less than two of me. But imagine 375 pounds, bringing a wheelbarrow. Here you go. A huge amount of money. It is, in the New Testament time, one talent is equal to 6,000 denarii. A denarii was a coin that was a day's wages. So a talent would be about, one talent, about 20 years' wages. A huge amount of money. Imagine one guy, here's 100 years' worth of wages. Doesn't give any instruction, just gives it to them, and then he leaves. He entrusts it to them, and then goes on his journey. These servants were given a life savings. There were differing amounts based on their ability. The Lord, the Master, understood the influence of these servants, understood the circles that they traveled in, understood the gifts and abilities that each person had, and he distributed it to gain maximum impact. To those that could not handle more, he didn't give more. To those that could handle more, he gave more. But ultimately, he gave just an extravagant amount. And what we find out is that some of these servants were good stewards. Two of them doubled their master's blessing. Verse 20 and 21, and verse 22 and 23 are nearly identical. From the point where it says, Master, he said, you've entrusted me, is identical. Absolutely the same exact words repeated. The second time, he sort of abbreviates the interaction to the one he gave five talents, he gave back five talents. And the second time, it's to the one he gave two, returned two. But the conversation is exactly the same. Here's what you gave me, and here's what you gave me again. And they reap a benefit for their stewardship. They are commended. You are good. You're beautiful. You are morally excellent. You have done the right thing. You are faithful. You have acted in the right way. There is nothing better to hear than we are good and faithful, that we are morally excellent and behaviorally excellent. And then he says, come, enjoy your master's happiness. Come and enjoy the abundance that is yours. Enjoy the blessings that I have. In a way, he's saying, no longer are you servants, but you are equal peers with me. Now there was one that was a poor steward. One of the servants returned what was given to him. He hid, and this is where it says, he hid the silver in a hole. He dug the earth and hid the silver. That's what it says. He buried it. And the Lord condemns him when he comes back and says, I knew what you were like, and I didn't want to upset you. I was afraid, and so I hid the money, and here it is back. And what the Lord says to him, the master says to him, is, you are disappointing. Because you didn't even do the minimum. The minimum would have been to give it to someone else. To give it to the money changers. To give it to the bankers. To give it, as Matthew puts, to give it to disreputable people would have been better than doing nothing. You could have given it to the money changers in the temple and at least gotten some interest. And he was cast outside the house for his lack of stewardship. He was condemned. He was wicked, morally corrupt. And he was lazy, behaviorally lacking. It is the exact opposite. You are good and faithful, morally and behaviorally excellent. You are wicked and lazy, morally and behaviorally lacking. And he's cast out to a place of darkness, to a place of distress. Take that money from him and give it to someone else. The point of the parable is this. God's kingdom is full of people who receive blessings from the Lord. And some will use those blessings for the king's benefit. And some will not. And may you not be someone who wastes God's blessings. May we all be someone who receives God's blessing and gets the most from them. May we use what the Lord abundantly provides. That's the healthy habit we can develop. Because my second and final point this morning is that we, in this parable, we are the servants of the Lord. We are the ones that Matthew writes in Matthew 25:29. Everyone who has will be given more and have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. We have been entrusted with God's provision. And we tend to think, because the word talent is used, which talent in the original languages was a measure of weight. We now, partly because of the impact that the scriptures have on our culture and our society and our language, we now think of talents as innate abilities. But what it really is a blessing, a gift. We're all given things, stuff. And so let's not think of these five or two or one talents as abilities alone. They could be. They could be spiritual gifts and God-given abilities. But they could also be time that God gives us, the Lord of the house gives us a bag of time, an allotment of time. Some get more, some get less, but all get some. Or it could be money. Some get more, some get less, but all get some. It could be knowledge. Some get more, some get less, but all get some. Could be experience. Some get more, some get less, some get some. All get some. Let's think of those as the five talents. Spiritual gifts and abilities, time, money, knowledge, experience. We all have some undeserved provision. We all have been blessed in some manner. And the question is, according to this parable, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your time? What are you going to do with your money? What are you going to do with your experiences, good or bad? God's giving you bags of stuff that you don't deserve, that you didn't earn. Are you going to use them and multiply them? Or are you going to bury them in a hole? I was thinking about this yesterday. I didn't watch the wedding yesterday. I guess there was a wedding yesterday. I know there was a wedding yesterday. I didn't watch it. But my wife and daughter, and Josh, you watched it too, right? I want to say that there was one particular individual that was at that wedding that said, I have been given a bag of something and I am not going to bury it. This is my chance to double my blessing. There was a pastor, an Episcopal pastor from Chicago, who said, I'm going to have a billion eyes on me and I am going to blast every single one of them, whether they like it or not, with the unadulterated gospel. And it seemed like Megan enjoyed it. And according to my wife and daughter, Harry not so much. But he said, I am not going to bury this talent. I am not going to bury this blessing. And it's something we ought to commit to doing as well. We must utilize what we've been given. We must have something to show for the grace of God. We know His character. And we know that this parable is not a one-to-one connection. Much like the parable of the persistent widow, where the judge is impatient. God is not impatient. In this parable, the connection breaks down because God is not harsh. God does not harvest where He doesn't sow, where He doesn't plant. He doesn't gather where He hasn't scattered seed. God's not harsh. God's loving and kind. And all the more so, we ought to know His character. We ought to know the source of our blessings and say, you know what? I want, in the time that I have, to double what God has given me. We know the purpose in which He's providing it. He wants us to expand His kingdom. And so we must risk, without being reckless, those blessings so that we may have a good return. We also must remember that those who do receive the Lord's commendation, we too can be called good and faithful. We too can be given more for our enjoyment, our happiness. And we must refuse to be poor stewards. The least we can do is give our blessing to someone else. At least we can give it to a banker. At least we can give it to someone, even if it's an unreputable person. At least we can share that blessing with someone and get a minimum instead of hiding it in a hole. Because the last thing we want is to be tossed out. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think the point is to say, well, if you do this, you'll be fine, and if you don't, you'll get tossed out. I think this is one of those parables, and Jesus shares them, Paul shares words similar to this. To recognize that there are consequences so that we can avoid them. We ought not to fear that God's going to toss us out if we do something wrong. But we ought to recognize that the stakes are high. And that we ought to be using our gifts, whether it be spiritual gifts and abilities, or time, or money, or knowledge, or experience, to increase the King's blessings. You and I have been given an abundance of blessing. Here's an interesting thing that I find from this passage. The king comes back. The Lord, the master comes back. And he says, here's 5 talents, here's 5 more. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few. Now I'm going to make you Lord over much. I wouldn't think that 20 years wages, let alone 100 years wages, let alone 375 pounds of precious metals is a few. But in God's economy, His blessings are so vast, and we have no idea how great His abundance is. And we need to start thinking like this parable says, that the entire wages that you will earn in your lifetime is little in comparison to God. The time that we spend on earth is just a little amount compared to eternity with God. The experiences that we share with God are small compared to the vastness of what we will experience. And so we ought to never consider nothing as an option. Our sermon in a sentence is this: citizens of God's kingdom maximize what the Lord supplies. Utilize and maximize the blessings God has granted you. Manage your life well. And as a church, we ought to be encouraging people to manage our lives together well, our time, our talents, our treasures, and watch the blessings increase. Now, I'm not talking a prosperity gospel. You give and God will give you back. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you give because that's what God desires. And see if He doesn't continue to supply in abundance. Give glory to God by using His gifts for eternal gains. We have been given so much more than a game show check. We have been given life abundant and eternal. Manage it well. Enable others to benefit from what God has blessed you with. Citizens of God's kingdom, maximize what the Lord supplies. Shall we pray?